What does it mean to have conviction? Not preference, not inherited assumption, not just something you feel strongly about, but a genuine, settled persuasion formed by God's Word. In this episode, Doug joins Tommy to work through exactly that, what conviction is, how to develop it, and what it looks like when it shapes the way you live, in marriage, family, giving, and your relationship with the local church. Here is episode 95 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hey everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. We received another question and I asked Doug to join us. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Doug, we got a question in to discuss on conviction. Conviction on several aspects. We'll talk about that. But maybe let's just lay a biblical foundation on what conviction is. And then we'll build on that to draw some practical applications on how to draw a conviction or have conviction on faithfully being a member of the church, being part of the family, being a good husband or a father or a mother. Wife, having convictions about theology and what you believe, having conviction of looking after the church financially. So, I mean, conviction can play a role in a lot of things that we believe as Christians. But what is conviction and how do we develop a good conviction?
Yeah, so I would think a conviction would be the state of being fully persuaded about something. So Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he promised. Paul said that he was fully persuaded in the gospel. So I suppose that would be a good definition. A conviction is you're fully persuaded about a position. You're fully persuaded about an action. You're fully persuaded about a belief. Fully persuaded might be a good synonym for that.
Yeah. Now that's good. And obviously then the persuasion comes from the word. So you are instructed and persuaded from the word to believe a certain conviction about a topic.
So I am fully persuaded the Bible teaches baptism of believers only. When somebody repents and believes the gospel, that then only then should they be baptized. So that for me is a conviction.
Yeah.
Presbyterian brother would have a conviction that baptism is for even infants of believing parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My conviction is right, his is wrong.
There we go. R.C. Sproul in heaven, he's a Baptist right now. Okay, so it's word informed to a certain conviction or being persuaded by the word that is truth.
It's not just an opinion.
Yeah.
It's I'm persuaded from scripture about that.
Yes. Okay. And then that's also why people stand for truth.
Yeah.
We're preaching through Jude at the moment, and Anton beautifully laid it out to say we need to contend for the faith. And that's another conviction about the gospel. We're going to contend for that. So that's what it is, to be persuaded from the word. How can we develop that? And that kind of answered the second question. But just practically, how do we form our own convictions about certain things, and how can we help each other?
Yeah, so I think you develop your convictions by studying God's Word. And as you study God's Word, you become fully persuaded that this is truth. This particular matter I'm studying, this is what the Bible teaches about it. And I'm fully persuaded of that, and therefore I don't plan to budge on that position unless I have further light. I mean, Martin Luther, right, when he stands before the trial and he says it is not right nor wise, something like that, to go against conscience. And his conscience is held captive by the word of God. And he even said, if I can be proven otherwise by the word, fine. But this is my conviction because this is how I understand the Word of God.
Yeah.
So by studying Scripture, and I think one way to study positions is sometimes interacting with positions that are opposed to yours. So you make sure you know all sides of this and say, no, this is where I land.
Yeah.
That's why baptism is a good example.
Yeah.
I've studied both sides of that.
Yeah.
And I've concluded this is what the scriptures say.
That's good. Now, what if someone does not study scripture? How do we help them get a conviction?
Yeah.
They misunderstand the church. So how do we help them understand that, man, this is your first priority. This is your family. Not your natural, not your cultural family. Church is your family. Or, listen, if you give 100 rand instead of a full tithe, that should be your conviction because that takes care of the church. A theological position like baptism. If they don't study themselves, how do we help them be convicted about?
I think give them the floor, first of all, and say, okay, you don't believe this. Tell me why you don't believe this. Tell me why you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
And help them to think through, because in many cases, what they're going to say is, actually, this is my position simply by default. I've inherited it, the tradition that I grew up in.
Mm.
So give them the floor and say to them, help me to understand why this is your viewpoint, why this is your conviction and not this.
Mm.
And help them to see maybe the way they're doing things doesn't have any biblical grounds.
Mm. Mm.
And you then point them to, but this is what the Bible says.
Okay.
What do you do with these verses, with this passage?
Yeah.
How do you explain 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 about they gave beyond their, though they're poor, they gave beyond their ability.
Mm. Mm.
There's a clear example of sacrificial giving.
Mm.
When, you know, oftentimes with the baptism issue, where in the Bible is an infant ever baptized?
Mm.
And there's no instance.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, that's a logical, necessary inference. And then you want to ask them, why is it logical and why isn't it an inference if it's silent? So I, again, not trying to win a debate, but helping them to see that your position's not grounded in Scripture.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. So maybe just on some of those topics, where would you go to help people understand the conviction on being a good father that you need to give to your children, raise them up?
Yeah.
Where would you go?
I would go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, opening verses there, where the fathers are mandated to ground their children in the truth of God's word in everyday talk. I would go to Ephesians 6. Clearly, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture. I mean, it's clear. I would go to those scriptures. I would go to the inverted promise in Exodus 20. That if you don't serve God, then God's going to pour out judgment in the next generations, but he wants to show mercy to thousands of generations. I would go to Acts 2, I think it's 39, this promises to you and to your children.
Yeah, I
think there's plenty of places there.
Where would you go to helping people understand or get a conviction of the church is your first priority? Spiritual family is more important than biological family.
I think Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I like the land there because Jesus didn't give his life for the parachurch. He didn't give his life for the government. He didn't give his life for the family. He gave his life for the church. If he shed his blood for the church, that should prioritize it.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10, that we are one in Christ.
1 Corinthians 10, we're one body. We eat of one loaf. 1 Corinthians 11. I mean, 1 Corinthians 11 is verses 17 to the end of the chapter is packed with that. I think five times when you come together.
Yeah.
So I think that, those passages are really glorious.
Yeah. You mentioned 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Maybe just unpack that a little bit with regards to conviction on giving to the church. I know there are a lot of other podcasts, not as great as Imprint Out Loud, but that actually teaches, and I know there's quite a prominent guy or two that says, give to missions, not to your church.
Yeah.
Your church is just the middleman, so give directly to missions instead of your church. Why should we give to the church?
Well, the church is the place that God, from which God does missions. So if your church is not involved in missions, then find another church. And that's where you can invest your,
your money.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, from a worldly perspective, I've always liked this idea that you pay where you're fed. If I eat at a restaurant, I don't go to the next one and pay.
Yeah.
And that sounds worldly, but the truth is Galatians 6 makes it very clear that where you're fed, you should help support that, that you help those who are teaching you.
Mm.
I do believe that since the church is, the local church is God's means for evangelism, making disciples, that's where your resources should go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking, where is it now? Oh yeah, 1 Corinthians 9, but also 1 Timothy 5. You need to pay those that labor in teaching and preaching. So we need to take care of our main pastor teacher because he feeds our souls. So give towards the church.
And I think when it comes to missions, you know, if you're in a biblical local church, you can trust that church.
Okay.
And therefore, you're going to want to invest in where your church is investing.
Yes.
So you're supporting, I mean, we just did this. We just stopped supporting a missionary who proved himself unqualified. And there's a protection there.
Yeah.
There's millions of dollars that are wasted, and I'm not exaggerating, millions of dollars that are wasted on ministries and ministers who don't qualify.
Yeah.
So the local church is a way to really keep accountability and to help protect your investment.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that's that whole mindset of whose money is it actually?
Yeah.
God gave you to give back to God.
Yeah.
And that's for ministry, that's for ministers, it's to keep the lights on in the church. The ministry of the church, the comfy chairs, changing some chairs now soon, but that's all done with the money. Maybe some text verses for husbands and wives, real conviction, because I think most of my marriage counseling that I do is exactly that. There's no conviction of, I need to love my wife or my husband, or I need to wash my wife with a word. It's just like, yeah, we're married and we live side by side.
Yeah.
Own separate lives, but in one under one house.
Yeah, so I think going back to the beginning, going to Genesis 1:26 to 28, and then chapter 2, starting around verse 14, when God institutes marriage, I think that's vital.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jesus talked about marriage, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So right away, you have the conviction, you should have the biblical conviction that this marriage is a covenant relationship till death parts us. Okay? So you start there. I think Piper said that a marriage covenant doesn't keep you in love, but what it does do is it keeps you married so you can work on your love. And I think that Ephesians 5 is the longest New Testament passage dealing with marriage, where it's clear about a husband's responsibility to love his wife, even if she crucifies you, which is literally what he's saying in verse 25. And a wife is to submit to her husband. 1 Peter 3, about Sarah, who called him Lord, which in the context, going back to Genesis 18, she was laughing when she heard she was going to have a baby, and she says, how will I give birth? I'm old, and my Lord also is old. And you think about the risks she took to actually sleep with Abraham and to conceive at 90 years of age to carry a child when the infant mortality rate was high, mortality rate of mothers was high, but she trusted God. So she took God's word seriously. So I think all those passages help us as, I mean, I pray every day of my life, Lord, help me to love Jill as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I can become very rote, but I think about it. And so it's a conviction with me. I must do this because God says to do it.
That's a helpful thing that you just said now, that I think part of just being informed, persuaded by the word as conviction, like you said, that's a good definition, is actually praying about these things. Lord, am I giving enough? Am I loving my wife or my husband enough? Am I doing enough for my kids? And if not, please reveal this and equip me to do that. Do I feel distant towards the members of my church, or should I give more? So pray through those things intentionally. And even being convicted about, I need to fight my sin. James talks about that, that you just need to fight your sin.
Right.
As being part of a Christian, just have those convictions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any last thoughts?
No, I just think of Martin Luther when he just said, his conscience is held captive by the word of God. The reason he was such a man of conviction was he was fully persuaded, this is what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
And then we need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Men and women.
Yeah. And I wonder if people are not persuaded and they don't have convictions because they don't read their Bible.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's part of the problem.
In Ephesians 4, I mean, he warns us. He talks about God gives the church gifted teachers, right?
Mm.
To build up the saints.
Mm.
Who will build up the saints,
mm-hmm.
so that we are not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. In other words, Ephesians 4, 12 to 16 gives us a beautiful picture of a church that stands on conviction.
Yeah. And that tossed to and throw from other doctrines, it might not be false gospels.
Right.
It might just be the influence of the world.
Right.
That's also a doctrine that people believe.
Yeah.
Where do I match up with the world?
Immaturity, he defines, is Christ-likeness.
Mm.
Well, Jesus Christ...
Yeah.
Was a man of conviction, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, he pulled out a whip because he was convicted about...
face as a flint to go to the cross because he was persuaded that's the Father's will.
Well, thanks, Doug. Appreciate your wisdom.
Pleasure.
If you have any questions, send them in and we'll discuss them. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.